right, our next speaker is Dr. Prachi Mehta with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Mehta is a public health informatics and program management professional with over 14 years' experience at CDC. She has worked domestically in the U.S. as well as internationally in Thailand and Uganda on the development, implementation, and evaluation of public health surveillance systems. Dr. Mehta is currently a health scientist informatics in the Division of Health Informatics and Surveillance at CDC and also serves as co-chair for CDC's ICD-10 Transition Workgroup. Dr. Mehta.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Thank you for coming to this kind of late presentation at APHA. How many of you have actually heard about ICD-10, ICD-9 transition? Okay, good. Okay. So my colleague Donna and I, we serve as co-chairs for CDC's ICD-10 transition workgroup, and what we've been trying to do over the last year and a half, is really to raise awareness in the public health community about this transition and the impact this transition is going to have on public health and surveillance. What we started to realize is that, you know, the clinical sector is well aware of this transition, but in public health, what we were realizing is there was a perception that, you know, we don't need to care, this is not really within our domain. And so through this session today and through a number of other sessions we've been doing internally within the agency, we want to kind of dispel that notion and to give some examples of what this transition, the impact of this transition is going to have on public health. So that's just kind of the overview of why we're here and why we think this is important. I have no relationships to disclose. So here are some of the things we want to cover today in the 15, 20 minutes we have. A little bit of background about what this transition is, how CDC is using ICD-9 CM-coded data, and this might be relevant to a number of people from public health. What are some of the possible impacts on public health and what changes are going to need to be made? What some of the strategies and activities that we have been undertaking within the agency, and then kind of leave you all with some resources that you might be able to utilize and tap into for your own purposes. So I apologize if this is kind of repetition for a number of you since you seem to be familiar with ICD, but for those of you who are not, ICD stands for International Classification of Diseases, and it's used to classify diseases and other health problems. It's recorded on many types of health and vital records, including death certificates, and it's mainly used for clinical epi quality purposes, as well as it forms the basis for compiling national mortality and morbidity statistics by WHO member nations. In the U.S., more specifically, it's used for insurance decisions, reimbursement, and resource allocation. Now, what this change is going to be is by October 1st of 2014, the ICD-9 CM volumes 1 and 2, which are primarily used for diagnosis, are going to be replaced by ICD-10 CM. And then the ICD-9 CM volume 3, which is on procedure codes, is going to be replaced by ICD-10 PCS. And this is a mandate that is going to affect all entities that are currently covered by HIPAA, which is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. This act basically protects the privacy of electronically identifiable information. And the two federal agencies that have been taking the lead on this are CMS and NCHS. So CMS has been taking the lead on developing the PCS codes. And then NCHS, and in fact, Donna Pickett, who we're so fortunate to have with us, she actually wrote the codes for CM through her affiliation with NCHS. So why, you might ask, are we transitioning to ICD-10? One of the main reasons we're transitioning is because the current ICD-9 CM codes, they're very backdated. Over the last 30 years, we've made tremendous progress in the healthcare and medical care industry. But the coding has not kept up with these technological advances. And then, you know, basically we do medicine differently now than we did 35 years ago. And so the other piece also is that our mortality coding already transitioned to ICD-10. And so because of that, there is not comparability between morbidity and mortality at the state and national level. The other piece is that a lot of the developed nations have already transitioned to ICD-10. The U.S. is pretty much probably one of the last ones to transition. So once we do transition, there will be much more easy comparability between the U.S. and international. And what the ICD-10 codes will do is it'll give us a lot more flexibility and a lot more granularity, as I'll show in a second, in terms of how you are defining what your codes are. So what will happen on this transition date? For all of us in this room who are familiar with Y2K, it is going to be very similar to that. So you don't really say, oh, I'm going to gradually transition and get there on October 1st, 2014. It's not going to be like that. It's a hard stop. After October 1st, 2014, all users that are currently using ICD-9-CM or PCS codes will have to transition to ICD-10-CM and PCS. Claims that are using ICD-9-CM will not be accepted. And of course, this is also going to impact CDC as well as other public health agencies that are receiving these coded data for surveillance or for other uses. So this is just a quick summary. I'm not going to read through this. It's a lot of information. The main point we want to make here is just the level of change. So if you look at CM, there's a five-fold increase between ICD-9-CM to ICD-10. So we're going from about 14,000 codes to 68,000 codes. And for PCS, the change is even more dramatic. We're going from around 3,800 codes to around 72,000 codes. And in terms of the characters, we're moving from about 3 to 5 characters to about 7 characters in ICD-10. So again, it's going to give you that level of granularity that you need and also the flexibility of expanding your codes in the future if needed. So I kind of already mentioned what some of the benefits are of this new coding system. Of course, it has more updated medical terminology. It's easier to compare internationally as well as mortality and morbidity. And hopefully it's going to provide better data for decision making, both in public health as well as in clinical settings, and help identify fraud and abuse, primarily through CMS and other funders. So now we want to kind of talk about why should public health care? You know, how is public health, and CDC more specifically, actually using ICD-9-CM and ICD-9-PCS data? So we did early on, we did a needs assessment within the agency, and we identified over 70 activities that can potentially be impacted. And most of these activities are from secondary users, meaning it's primarily surveillance. For example, one example might be, you know, cancer registries, which use ICD-9 codes for case finding. Or we have a system at CDC called BioSense, which has syndromic surveillance, and they use ICD-9 codes as well as chief complaints to define what their syndromes are. And then we also do a few data provisioning for public use. For example, NCHS, the Hospital Ambulatory Care Survey, and others are available for public use also. There's a little bit of primary coding that's going on, but not a lot, and the main ones there are the hospital-related surveys that NCHS puts out. And then World Trade Center is another one. That one is kind of more or less like an insurance company where they actually help treat victims of the World Trade catastrophe or the, you know, the 2001 or whatever happened then. And they actually, it impacts not just who they treat, but how much they're going to reimburse, as well as analysis and reporting in that sense. But from a public health standpoint, we need to look at this not just from a system standpoint, but we need to look at it in terms of the impact on the people, the processes, and the systems, because all three tiers are going to be impacted. So what are some of the possible impacts, and what are some of the changes that are going to be needed? So going back to kind of the continuum of systems, people, and processes, if you can think, in the earlier slide I kind of showed you that there is a 5-fold and 19-fold increase in the number of codes. So naturally that's going to impact the systems. So it's going to impact, let's say, storage capacity, right? It's going to impact if you're doing testing and validation, you're going to need to change what kind of testing and validation you do for these new codes. You're going to have to update whatever existing documentation that you have, your business documentation, your systems documentation, that's going to need to be updated. And then, for example, for the World Trade Center example that I just mentioned, they're going to have to revise their eligibility certification criteria and processes, updating their claims processes, their quality assurance software. So these are just a few examples of how systems are going to be impacted and what changes are going to be needed. Of course, processes are going to be impacted too. So even though you might not collect ICD-9 data, you might be just receiving it, and you might be running some data extractions, or you might be doing some data analysis, or you might be doing some publications and reports. So all of the processes that feed into that are going to have to be, you're going to have to take a further look into that. And then, of course, people. One of the things that we realized during our needs assessment at CDC was there was going to be a huge impact on secondary users. And I'll kind of go into in a little bit what we're doing to address that. But training has been kind of a big piece of all of this. Primary users are going to need to be trained. At CDC, it's not a whole lot of that. Our primary audience are secondary users, the epidemiologists, the IT folks, the project and program managers. And then also, if you're using publicly used data sets, then you're going to have to change the instructions that go out for public use to so that they can extract and use the data differently. So what are some of the strategies that we're using to deal with this? So back in April of 2001, CDC started what we call this ICD-10 Transition Work Group. The work group is comprised, it's a very small work group, it's comprised of two co-chairs, one subject matter expert, one person that provides kind of project management assistance, an intern, and then we have representation across the agency for providing subject matter expertise. And really the charge of this work group was to identify what programs within the agency are impacted, what is going to be that impact, what kind of assistance are they going to need, and then also kind of collecting and sharing best practices and disseminating resources and tools. So that was kind of our charge. Some of our limitations are that this work group to this day remains kind of a voluntary work group. We don't have any formal authority. We have very limited funding, of course, in this day and age. And then our primary focus is on CDC. So we recognize that this is not just an agency problem. This is a public health and healthcare issue. But we just haven't had the bandwidth of reaching out and kind of taking more of a collaborative approach. We're trying to change that, though. Some of the strategies that we've used is, like I mentioned, we have done a needs assessment where we still continue to assess the agency's readiness to deal with this. We have identified three or four really high-impact programs, and we're working with them and through them to really identify, okay, what is this impact going to be on the rest of the agency? We're doing a good deal of outreach and awareness. This is an example of that, but we've done similar roadshows within the agency. We're providing, and our role is mainly to provide enterprise-level assistance. So we're not really working individually with the programs, but for example, Donna, in fact, is taking the lead on developing a number of training webinars that will eventually probably be available to the larger public health community, even though right now it's focused within the agency. Collecting best practices and tools, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but we've developed a SharePoint site with over 200 resources that the community can tap into. So I've already kind of mentioned a lot of this. I'm not going to read out. But for those of you who are interested in the training piece, some of the topics that we have developed training around are there is the overview training that we've done, which is very similar to this. It's just maybe a more extended version of this one. Understanding general equivalence mapping, which is the GEMS, which basically gives you, for these ICD-9 codes, what would the ICD-10 codes be, but then it's up to each program to determine which of those ICD-10 codes they want to implement, because it's a one-to-many relationship. Then for birth defects, developmental disabilities, and blood disorders in ICD-10-CM, we've developed that. And then ICD-10-CM injury coding and a proposed external cause of injury framework for presenting injury data. So these are the webinars that we've already done, and they're recorded, and hopefully we will be able to make those available to the larger community once they go through clearance. The other thing also that I wanted to mention and that I wanted to encourage everybody to join is this thing called the, I don't know if I can get to it from here, maybe not, but there is something, how many of you have heard of PH Connect? So PH Connect is it's an online virtual community. And we have recently started a PH Connect community of practice for public health, for ICD-9, ICD-10 transition. So we would encourage any and all of you to join that. At the end of this presentation, we have our contact information. We can send you the link. And really, the purpose of this community is for you to post questions, others to post answers, really creating a virtual organic community where people can learn and kind of grow and share lessons learned and best practices. So what are some of our next steps? I've kind of outlined some of the trainings that we've already developed. We have a number of trainings that we're in the process of developing that might be of interest to you. One is on ICD-10-CM injury coding and a proposed framework for presenting ICD-10-CM injury diagnostic data. This is tentatively scheduled for December 11th. Overview of ICD-10-CM overview of ICD-10-CM, and then also an overview of ICD-10-PCS. And then trend analysis, which Donna will be giving you a flavor of that in just a few minutes. And then also project management, meaning how do you apply project management principles and practices to help you with this transition within your own organization. And then the other thing we also have is a website that was just launched a couple of days ago. And this website provides a number of helpful resources that we've developed. And at some point in the future, we will post these webinars that I was just speaking of on this website for public consumption.